Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Folks, I'm messing with my computer here on my screen, trying to figure out how to get... There it is. Hit the right button, get my face up there on the screen. Happy 9-9-2020, Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday morning. What a time to be alive. I'm still kind of recovering. A little bit overwhelmed, actually, about the great trip we had out in Missouri. I don't know why... I want to say sky high in Missouri, but it wasn't. It was something other high, and I can't... It always trips me up when I try to remember. And then Steve Deck and John Loveland spent the day here, the morning here yesterday, and had some great fellowship there, and just continue to figure out, Lord, what is it you would have us to do? You know, the battle we're fighting against, if you think about this, the enemy, the devil, Beelzebub, call him whatever you want to, you got to give the devil credit. I hate to give him credit. He's multifaceted. Man, he is multifaceted. If, you know, whether or not you want to believe the whole idea, we talked about it earlier, the idea of kingdom authority, kingdom ministry, seven mountains, all that, national association. I can't even admit what, it doesn't matter. We ought to be, if we're not supposed to be controlling the government, Christians I'm talking about now, we're not supposed to be controlling education. We're not supposed to be controlling the media. Aren't we at least supposed to be having some influence? See, the idea behind the Seven Mountains movement, the one that a lot of Christians are against and say, you know, you got to be careful, it's cultish and we shouldn't be doing. There are true Seven Mountains. What they accuse the Seven Mountain movement of is believing that Jesus Christ will not return until we have taken control of all of those seven mountains. That's not that. Well, if that's what they believe, I don't believe that, folks. I don't believe that. But I believe in kingdom principles. And I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, King over everything. I believe that. And to be discredited, continue to be discredited, not me, but those who are talking about kingdom principle, the things that John Diamond talks about and Jamie Walden talks about, and more people are beginning to talk about the idea that Christians should be in some way very, very influential in the things of the world. Folks, how can that be crazy? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses his savor, it is henceforth good for nothing. Good for nothing in what? Salt of the earth being good for nothing. How does salt of the earth become good for nothing? It loses its saltiness. How does it lose its saltiness? It doesn't get out of the salt shaker? Gets mixed with something that's not as pure? What? How do we lose our saltiness? In fact, the scripture says once you lose it, it'll never be salty again. It says you're the light of the world. It says no one takes a bushel basket or takes a candle and puts it up on a hill and puts a bushel basket over it. So you set it high up on that hill that it's going to give light into everything. And it's going to glorify your Father. Why are we so reluctant? I don't know. To get involved and fight for influence in the culture and the society we live around. Come on in.
Hey, so that's a good question. And, you know, for the Christian, you know, we have the exhortation where it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death.
Right.
But, you know, you bring up Satan, and he's been observing man since the beginning of time, right? And in Job, when, you know, the angels came around the, the throne, and Satan was there, and God said to him, "What are you doing here?" And he started. They started talking about Job. What did Satan say to him? In Job chapter 2, verse 4, Satan said to the Lord, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life." So what do we see going on today? We see self-preservation, right?
Amen. Amen. Glenn, it was the same thing Hitler said. Hitler said about the pastors in Germany. He said they'll do anything to protect their miserable jobs. And it's the same thing, isn't it? And the idea that you just said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, those two things are pretty easy to do and pretty common. But that other part, Glenn, loving not their own lives, even the point of death, not so much that one, right? Not so much. And so, go ahead.
Yeah, I've always, well, not always, but for a while now, I've been wondering, all these rapture folks, how can they read the book of Revelation and understand that there's going to be untold numbers of people being killed as martyrs for Christ before the end comes? Now, they want the rapture to hurry up and come, but they don't want to be one of the martyrs.
There's a lot of calamity before that happens, Larry, and I want to correct you. I know you didn't say it on purpose. We don't make fun of the rapture, folks. I know that you didn't mean that, Larry. We don't disparage somebody's belief.
I'm not disparaging them.
No,
but I am questioning their belief.
Okay, that's fine. But that sounds a little bit like disparaging. So I just want to say, hey, all free in love and war here, right, folks? We're all in this together. And so I was whether you're a rapture guy or not, we all have to admit this, right? There's some horrible stuff coming before that happens, I think. And I'm not going to get in here, and I'm not going to argue about it, about when it's coming and what's going to happen and what the sign is. I'm not going to do that. But there's some horrible things coming upon the earth, man. Some horrible things. And the horrible things that are coming upon the earth supposed to be coming upon the earth. We're going to look back. Can we do this? Can we take the issue of not that long ago, folks, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, or let me swim back a little bit farther. When I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union in 1997, that's 23 years ago. When I got sued by the ACLU and then went through that battle, and then in 2000, when that whole battle was over and I left teaching and coaching to go out and warn people that the British were coming, I've been doing it for 20 years. And I'm wondering if 20 years ago they'd listen to me instead of closing the door and not letting me in because I was, whatever adjective you want to use. They didn't want to hear it. What if the church had awakened 20 years ago? And some of the things we spoke about then, gay marriage is coming. Folks, I'm not bragging about me. I was in Montgomery, Alabama when they took the Ten Commandments out of Judge Roy Moore's office. How long ago was that? Was that 2004 maybe? 2003, 2004 when they took the Ten Commandments out of Judge Roy Moore's office? And I said, it's coming. The British are coming. And people laughed about it. And then in Ohio, when we... 2004, the election of 2004, I believe, was when George W. Bush won Ohio because of the marriage amendment that we put on the ballot. The marriage amendment said that marriage was only between a man and a woman, and because that was on the ballot, a lot of conservatives came out and pushed George Bush to victory in Ohio, and we were warning them back then. They're coming. Folks, listen, what if we're still here 20 years from now? What's it going to be 20 years from now that we wish we had done today? Because I'll be 87 years old. It's not that far away. I'm 67, 47, isn't that long ago. I sit here today and I look back and say, man, if everybody listened to me, if they'd awakened up 20 years ago, we could have pushed back against some of this stuff. And here it is 20 years later and different stuff's happening and the church still doesn't get it. The church still doesn't rise up and push back. We still don't get it.
Dave.
Yeah.
You talk about what horrible things are. I mean, look at the horrible things we have now.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the only thing I can start thinking of in the future is what? Starvation? New slavery? I mean, when you think of what is taking place in our culture now with abortion, marriage, transgenderism, you know, my goodness, isn't this enough to wake people up?
Roger, why are we so powerless to end any of it? I mean, I listened to Tom Dunn yesterday, and I'm just thinking, how's this possibly even going on in the United States of America? They're actually stealing children, killing children, actually are stealing and killing little children. You think the average church has any idea this is going on? And that's what Larry said. The point Larry was making, I think, is, you know, we get so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. Start thinking about being out of here and looking at the signs of being out of here. And they're killing baked children, born children, real children. I don't know, man. I don't know. I want you to know this. I'm not discouraged at all. I'm really not. I still think we can win. But I point out the signposts and say, man, look at this, look at this. Would you all agree with me if the church had wakened up? Is that a word? Had the church been awake had the church finally come out of its slumber in 2000, do you think we'd have gay marriage? Do you really think we would? Do you think we'd still have abortion on demand? Do you really think that we would be arguing about this whole thing of vaccinations and masks? If the church rose up 20 years ago and began to at least, maybe not take its proper role, but at least begin to influence the society and influence the culture, would we be where we are today? I think it's stupid that we would even think that way. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we would not be in our current position. And in fact, if the church had started waking up 20 years ago, even some of the things that were implemented in the wake of 9/11 probably would not have happened.
Well, Gary, that's a great point, huh? By the way, 2 days away from 9/11, right? We're 2 days away from it. And so again, I'm asking this: how many of you with your own children, your own lives, look back at your kids with regret? Golly, I shouldn't have done this, and I shouldn't have done that. Boy, if I'd have seen this coming, if I'd have understood that better. Well, here we sit, and if we project out 40 years from now is 2040. You know, 2040 is just as close as 2000. Do you get that? The year 2040 is just as close as the year 2000. That's not that far away. And we're still in slumber. We're still getting bullied and manhandled everywhere we look. And then when guys like me or that Seven Mountain Movement, I don't even know what that Seven Mountain Movement is. I don't think we're supposed to build God's kingdom here on earth and then he'll show up. I don't believe that. But I believe we're supposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we're supposed to be infecting every area of influence in all of culture. And that's not the message of the church. It's not the message of it at all. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Let's go to the calendar real quick. I'll warn you. I'm going to show you something today that I'm preparing you. Okay. I'm going to show you something today that's vulgar. It's vulgar. I'll give you fair warning. I'm going to do that. Okay. And if some of you don't send me any emails, don't send me any emails. This ain't church. We'll show you something vulgar, but not quite yet. Rob Pugh's having his event this weekend. I was on with Hagman yesterday. Thank God for Doug Hagman that he gave me. I don't, man, that's valuable time. Doug just gave me 20 minutes. I could add more to talk about these preparedness camps that we're having because I think they're so important. And Rob's preparedness tactical training event in Wisconsin is sold out. Isn't that awesome? Jamie Walden just had one with over 200 people there. Excuse me. Rob's having one this weekend. Look at that at the top. Sold out. Sold out. Boy, we're tapping into a need here, friends. We're really, really tapping into a need. And then to remind you of October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, if you scroll down through that for me, Mike, we're doing one here again. We're limiting it to 50 people. We're going to do some spiritual warfare training with Tom Dunn, as we saw yesterday, and Stephanie will be there to assist a little bit there. And we'll be doing some shooting with Chad. You got to bring your own gun, your own ammo. But those of you who came last time, look, we have some housing available. We have different levels that you can get. And man, just get in there and become part of it. And I salute Rob for having the sense to move forward and get that thing done and begin to influence. Golly, 50 some days from an election that's going to, I believe, it's going to radically change America. If that other side wins, you say, Coach, I never vote for the lesser of two evils. Buddy, you better on this one. You better on this one. You better encourage your kids, your friends, neighbors, better get involved. Jeff Klein, what's going on up at your place? Is it this weekend, Jeff? I'll be out of town. David Arthur's in town with Residue, and you guys are hosting him. You want to talk about that, man, Jeff?
Yeah, David has gotten a hold of me here recently. He done a teaching manual. It's called Residue.
Mm-hmm.
And it stands for, the initials stand for, remove every stronghold in depth, undo everything. And he's using it for any sin. I'm not just the homosexual lifestyle, but anything. And he is flat fired up about this thing. So he's coming in. He's going to do Tuesday night in the garage. He's scheduled Thursday night, I think it is, over in a church in Marysville. And then we're going to try and get him booked in somewhere in a church Wednesday night. And he's available Sunday morning and Sunday.
Okay, so
not speak as many times.
Now you're losing me. When's he coming in?
Tuesday. Well, he's coming in Saturday evening or Sunday morning.
When is his first event?
Be Tuesday night in my garage. We have nothing else for you.
Tuesday what? What date, Jeff?
That is
15th.
Yeah, at 6 o'clock at my garage, Mount Vernon.
Okay, so let's focus in on that. David Arthur will be in town to do that. And Residue, you know, it ties in with what we had heard yesterday. Well, maybe you guys didn't hear it. I spent some time with John Loveland yesterday. We'll get John back on the show as well. And it focused in also on what Tom Dunn was talking about. And somebody said yesterday, Coach, what is a DID? I got a lot of people asking what a DID. It's dissociative. I think I'm saying this right. Identity disorder. In other words, it's a development of different personalities. We used to call that multiple personalities, DID. So a DID is someone who is, through some type of trauma, has developed alternate personalities. And we didn't understand. Remember the movie Psycho? You guys remember that? Maybe I ought to get that video pulled up. But at the end of Psycho, it's one of the scariest movies you could ever watch. Anthony Hopkins, what was his name? Anthony... It doesn't matter. Perkins. Thank you. Anthony Perkins. At the very end of that movie, the whole thing is ending, Anthony Perkins is in a room all by himself, and he's talking to himself like a little baby, little child. So, she wouldn't even harm her flies. I don't want to waste time trying to find it, Mike, but that's what it was. At the end of it, Anthony's in the room, talking to his alter ego. And you think about Alfred Hitchcock. Ending scene. There was, Mike. Ending scene. did I just... I know I saw that. The ending of a... No. I'm looking at my screen as well. Thought I saw it. Said ending scene. Ending clip. Ending scene. Oh, that may be the American Psycho. Yeah. All right. Yeah, the Bates Hotel. Scroll to the very end of this, Mike, if you can. I haven't seen this, so I don't know. And you'll hear Anthony Perkins at the end with his alter ego in there talking to him. Just play that. See what happens there. Now, I don't think this is it. Anyway, that little child's inside all of us. And what? This is it. Just that. Play that right there, Mike. Just play this.
To be over, but then we get one final shot of the car being pulled out of the swamp. On a surface level, it shows that order has been reestablished. However, beneath the surface, we know that order does not help things that much. Marion is still dead, and the police can't undo the damage that Norman has done. The final ominous sound of Bernard Herrmann's score does not imply a happy resolution, but rather makes us anxious at what...
Point, The point being, what David Arthur is talking about, what Tom Dunn is talking about, what John Loveland was talking about yesterday, is that we all have some form of, how do I say this in a way that's going to make sense to you? We have some form of a alternate personality that we all sometimes slip into as a protective device. I said it to my sweet little wife yesterday. I looked at her, I said, that's you. Because there's certain things that will trigger a certain response out of Michelle. And and there's certain things that will trigger responses out of me. And it's a defense mechanism. That's not a different personality, but that's sort of how it plays out. So David Arthur would call it residue. John would call it DID. And what happens with an SRA, satanic ritually abused, a survivor, is someone who they purposefully did a DID on them. They purposely did that. Hey, Michelle, I think I left my phone up there. If somebody's trying to text me, which happens sometimes during the show. Okay. No, this isn't it. That's the American psycho. That's American psycho. So,
hey, Coach.
Yes.
At the bottom of his flyer we got here, he said the statement he has on is battle any addiction, stronghold, vice, or sin, find freedom while you discover your true identity in Jesus.
Yeah. So again, remember this, the Bible says that to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, right? There's a difference between being cleaned and being healed. You can have a cut on your arm and you go to the doctor and the doctor gets in there and cleans it all out and stitches it. So you've been cleansed, but you're not healed, right? So that's what that David Arthur is talking about and John and Tom Dunn. And I'm not a psychologist, but this is really, really fascinating stuff to me. And I think we have a tendency to fall back into old habits and, you know, they talk about the fatherhood wound and why a guy's passive and why he's aggressive. And Mike, maybe you found it there. Did you ever see the movie Psycho, Mike? I don't know why you, I want to get off of it. Okay. You can quit looking for it. But at the end, Anthony ends up back being controlled by his mother. Cool. Okay. I'm going to show you something dirty today. Thanks, sweetheart. Thanks. Did I get that right, Michelle? She didn't say anything. She just brought down into my multi-million-dollar studio where I got an armed guard standing, protecting me 24 hours a day. Anybody want to comment? I got something I want to show you. I'm going to warn you. It's very, very vulgar. Just warn you.
Hey, just maybe just a drop in a little nugget before you go on. You know, you talked about psycho. Remember little Michelle? Cut herself on a knife at that first time I came to a all hands on deck there.
Yep.
That was a Cutco French chef knife, the same knife used in Psycho in the shower scene.
That explains it. That explains it. All right. Okay, listen, I got to show you this, folks. Tim Alberino, when we were in Missouri, I have a hard time getting that in my brain. When we were in Missouri, Tim Alberino talked about the fact that the enemy was out in the open. And unfortunately, those of us who are Christians and we hide inside of our enclaves and our shells and our churches, and rightfully so, we try to avoid a lot of the crazy stuff that we see going on. Don't have any idea how deep and dark the influences of American society and American culture are. We really don't get it. As I said, I'm 67 years old. I don't have any idea what 18-year-old kids are listening to. No idea. I don't even understand, you know, video games. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. I know it's going on, but I don't understand it. So I came across something yesterday. Mike, let me see how I can do this here. Because I sent all these things to you. And I don't know if it makes sense. I got the, let's do this. Mike, pull up. Where is it? No. There. Yes, that's it. Mike, pull up. Right under it says Cardi B. Right under that it says 340, Mark. Pull it up right there. I don't know if you guys know this or not, that Candace Owens, everybody knows who Candace Owens is. See, I hate to identify her as the black woman, but how else do you identify her? The young black sensation. Conservative black sensation, Candace Owens. brought to light yesterday the fact that Joe Biden did an interview with Cardi B. And I said, who? Cardi what? Cardi B? So this, she's a rap singer, I guess. I never heard of Cardi B, right? So the Democrat convention sets up Cardi B to interview Joe Biden. Folks, I ain't making this up. They didn't put Chris Wallace in front of him. They didn't put Cardi B. I've never even heard of Cardi B. And I'm going to let you see a little bit of this clip. And then Candace Owens comes out and is criticizing the Democratic Party and Cardi B. Number one, saying, Cardi B, you don't even know what you're talking about. You're illiterate, she said, basically. And the Democratic Party, what's the message you're trying to send to black people? That you would have this illiterate, Candace's words, interview the president of the United States. What's the message you're trying to say? I want you to watch this, okay? I haven't watched much of this clip, but here's what Candace was talking about when Cardi B interviews Joe Biden. So let's just look at a few seconds of this, Mike, so everybody gets a feel for what I'm talking about.
Yeah, free college education, free Medicare. Okay, wait a minute, did she say evocation?
This is another clip. Mike, you can freeze that a second. Here's all I need you to see, all right? Here's Cardi B with a Zoom, appears to be, interview of Joe Biden. So the Biden administration set up an interview with this dunce, this hoe. I'm going to show you that here in a second, all right? And Candace Owens looks at this and says, you got to be kidding me. This girl here, of all the black people in America, this girl here interviewing Joe Biden? So I'm thinking, Cardi B, I never heard of Cardi B. Anybody out there ever hear of Cardi B? I never heard of her. I want you to get ready. I want you to get ready, friends, to put the mute button or, in fact, Mike, maybe we can play this. Folks, this is raunchy. This is raunchy. You say, well, coach, then don't play it. I don't want it to be a fit. Well, I have to. I got to show you what we're dealing with. You tell me there's not a devil loose, okay? Mike, pull up the, it says Cardi B. This is the Cardi B video that made Cardi B a national sensation, even though I've never heard of her. I never heard of Cardi B. So Joe Biden and his crew, they're trying to reach out, evidently, to a young black group, right? And this is, stop, hold it right there a minute, Mike. Look at this. That's Cardi B. And her song, Mike, if you could go back to that previous picture. You just zoomed in. I want you to zoom back, whatever it was you just did. I want you to go back because I want you to see down at the bottom how many people have watched this video. I couldn't believe it. There it is. Thanks, Mike. 17 million. 329,270 people have watched this video. August 10th. Since August 10th, a month, 17,329,270 people have watched this video. And this video was so hot that the Biden administration said, boy, we got to get this girl here to interview Joe Biden. Candace Owens comes out and says, what an illiterate. Folks, this, I can't tell you enough. This is so vulgar, okay? I'm giving you fair warning, okay? This is so vulgar. You can mute it if you want to. I consider maybe we would mute it. The lyrics are going to be on there. 17 million people have watched this video in a month, Cardi B, and she interviews Joe Biden. And you tell me there's not something demonic going on here. Again, I apologize, friends. Hey, explicit, vile video and lyrics. Go ahead, Mike.
I said certified freak, 7 days a week, wet ass pussy. Make that pull out get weak. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, you fucking with some wet ass pussy. Bring a bucket and a mop for this wet ass pussy. Give me everything you got for this wet ass pussy. Beat it up, nigga, catch a charge. Extra large and extra hard. Put this pussy right in your face. Swipe your nose like a credit card. Hop on top.
Okay, I want to ride.
I do a giggle. What is inside?
That's enough. That's enough. And the president, potential president of the United States, endorses this.
That's insane.
It's beyond that, Vinny. Folks, if you want to, I'll put it in the link. You go ahead and watch the rest of this thing. I couldn't believe it. On and on and on and on and on about what they do when a man and a woman get together. On and on and on. And she interviews the president of the United States. Somebody come in there.
Yeah, I'm going to come in here on this one. Listen, a nation full of whores and thugs has been in development for decades. A lot of the, you know, some of this, say, listen, we don't, going back to the 90s, a lot of this stuff was being played in the 90s. NWO, NWA, bringing us to this point. But whores and thugs has been created, dumbing this population of kids down to where I was saying 10 years ago, we're going to have to deal with these kids. And now here, the 15-year-olds, that we were dealing with that was punching mommy in the face 10 years ago, now they're 25. These are the same kids that are burning down cities, and these are the same poor thugs that are supporting Cardi B.
Amen, baby. Amen. Amen. All of that, why? Because the church has taken its hands off of the culture. Because why? We're not going to be here long. We're not going to be here long. You know, I watch this kind of stuff. I spent last night. Mike, go to my Facebook page real quick.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What do you mean we're not going to be here long? They want to save their damn money. And remember, money, the love of money,
uh-huh,
is the root of all evil.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Jack. Scroll down there, Joe. Thanks, Joe. Mike, scroll down. I went out yesterday. Keep going. Keep going. Look at this. Ho! I took all of our grandchildren yesterday to get ice cream. And I took this picture, and I looked at this picture. This is our little granddaughter. And I thought, God help us. God help us what I'm leaving to her. God help us. And, you know, the impact of our belief system really, really does matter. And I can say, as they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and love not their own lives, even to the point of death. There's so much at stake here. I die. I'm 67 years old. What about that little monkey? That's what I call my grandkids, my little monkeys. Look at that sweet little thing eating an ice cream cone. Oblivious to what's going on in the world. Trusting and counting on Grampy to prepare a good future for. And the church wants nothing to do with it. By the
way, we don't want to.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, well, I just, you know, we don't, you know, our founding fathers, you know, they stood for this nation for the posterity. You know, they pledged their lives and their wealth. Now it's all about preserving your wealth and buying that motor home and playing golf every day.
Yeah. I know, Glenn. And again, I think it comes back to a void that I'm working really, really hard to fill is direction and leadership.
Dave.
Hang on just a second, Rod. The theme of this song is always the same thing, isn't it? I always come back to the pastors in the church. I always come back to that. Who else is going to lead this thing? Go ahead, Rod.
And this may upset a few people, but it's just coming out. And I'm not saying you wait and do nothing. I'm not saying that at all. But it seems to me any action plan has to be built around the election. Things are going to be drastically different in how to approach things depending upon who comes away the winner. And so the tactical training, I think, is the way to go between now and the election, because that's going to spearhead directions we may go as a nation, as individuals, as parents, as fathers. Your thoughts, am I waning too long? Yeah. But I think the tactical thing of preparing in that direction has to be done now prior to a game plan of influence and culture, because yeah. The whole thing's going to be different come November 4th, the direction we may go.
I think we're a little bit late actually doing it, Roger. But yeah, I think it's a both. I think it's a both. But we're talking about how many days from today? 50 some days?
Yes.
50 some days. And I think I really believe that the more it appears that the president's going to be reelected, the more likelihood we're going to see crazy stuff before then. That's my take.
You know, I was talking to a guy that's going overseas for 2 months, and he was wanting prayer for going to Africa in the Middle East. And I said, what in the world are you doing that for? I said, you need to go to New York City. You
know, amen.
And he threw out Romans 25 and go all into the world and all this. And I thought, my goodness, the mission field is America.
If America goes down, baby, Christian America goes down. Come on
amen,
in, Joe.
Roger. Amen, Roger.
Yep. And our focus. And so it comes back again to what I was talking about with the idea of what Jamie Walden's talking about and John Diamond's talking about, and I'm trying to talk about with the kingdom. Many of the problems that it's like we are trying to hurry on the coming of Jesus. Like we want to try to speed it up. I'm thinking, golly, what if my grandkids are going to make it to 60? What if that little precious little thing you just saw on the screen, what if she's going to make it to 60 years old? What's she going to go through? What is she going to see? The clampdowns and the church oblivious to it. I was that age one time. You were that age one time. And I go back to what I said, 2020. What if in 2020 we'd have really started fighting? I'm sorry, what if in 2000 we'd really started fighting? What if we'd really put up our dukes and really gone at it then? No, and we're no farther along now than we were then. I'm rambling. Come on in, somebody.
All right, Coach. Hey, I was going to show you. See this picture?
Hang on, I don't, Jack. I keep calling you Jack this morning. I don't know why.
Yeah. Anyway. This is a picture of my two daughters.
Hang on, Joe. Let me get you down. Let me get you up here, Joe. I don't have you on my screen. I still don't. I just got you. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, these are my two daughters when they were young, a little bit older than your grandchild, eating ice cream on the sidewalk outside of a Dairy Queen or something like that. That's a precious memory. I just love this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about... The one thing that when 9/11 happened, I was expecting that we would just nuke everything in the Middle East with the exception of Israel, and that would solve the problem in about 3 days.
Yeah.
Okay. And that never happened. It took forever to start an offensive against this. It took, and we didn't use any nukes.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, worked last time.
Stopped the war. Right.
Yeah. Yep. So when this election goes down, the nation is going to lose because the opposition, Democrats or whatever you want to call them, Democrats or that kind of stuff, all right, don't understand the nature of God. The other side is going to lose because they don't understand the nature of God.
Amen. Amen, Joe. Well said. Hey, Joe, how about this? Lesser two evils argument. Can anybody out there give me, please, other than not liking Donald Trump, can anybody give me a reason to vote for Joe Biden? Anybody. Just give me one reason why any reasonable person would ever vote for Joe Biden. I'm listening. Somebody.
Because he likes a fight.
Yeah. Come on, somebody. Huh? Anybody?
Yeah, he wants to duke it out with Sean Hannity.
Folks, it's all just anti-Trump, isn't it? Go ahead, John.
Right.
Jack. Is it Jack? Who's speaking?
Yeah, no, everything they ascribe to Trump, you can ascribe twice to Biden. I don't understand how he's escaping scrutiny.
Okay, listen, I'm with you, Vinny, but I'm just talking about the abortion issue. I mean, I wouldn't have to go any farther than that. The vaccine issue, right? Cardi B, as Craig put in there. Yeah, you vote for Joe Biden, you're voting for Cardi B and riots. And I mean, see, it's part of the grand delusion. Now, Stephanie texted me. Think about this. She said it's the spirit of Jezebel working sex magic through spells. You think about that music again and the rhythm. And people are being mesmerized and impacted and influenced, and we don't even know it. Whoops, hang on here. My phone. I got to get a new phone, Mike. And so Stephanie says, repeating chants. I'm sorry, his phone. Repeating chants that put you into a little trance-like state. All the kids are lost listening to this crap and partying and banging each other like animals. And creating the unborn babies for the ritual through abortion. This is dark energy over the radio waves and through visual imprint. Wow, see, we don't look at it. We don't get it, do we? We're ignorant of his devices. Somebody else, come on in here. Tired of hearing myself.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Hey, this is exactly what, you know, everything you've been saying is exactly on point this morning. The church doesn't understand the message of the kingdom. Larry's right, you know, this whole rapture mentality. And the rapture's going to happen. It's just not going to happen when they think it's going to happen. So those are the kind of courses that I'm kind of trying to roll out here. One, if you want to get back on the ecclesia thing, if we understood what the ecclesia was, the church would wake up. If they understood that we are going to be here on this earth to be tested and tried here in the end times, they don't think. I got a girl in my church who talked the other day, and she thinks the rapture is going to happen in the end of September. And I'm like, well, you know what? You're hanging your hat on a hope that's not there. And I tell her this. I said, you know what? I hope I'm wrong. But it's a whole lot better to be prepared and not need it than not be prepared and find yourself in the middle of it. And if these people submitting to these mask mandates, if you're not going to tell, you're not going to tell the government, the schools, the businesses that you're not going to wear a mask. How are you going to have the faith or the courage? This is what Jamie said over the weekend in Missouri. He said, faith and courage is like a muscle. The church is being tested right now to see if you've got the strength and the courage to stand up for what's coming. And when you look at what's happening in America, the church is not ready at all. Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? My answer would absolutely not.
So let me ask you this, John, because I'm not a theologian or I'm not an expert, so I don't know. But if the rapture comes, John, and if I'm standing outside of an abortion clinic, or if I'm addressing a city council meeting, or if I'm at a school board meeting fighting for truth and righteousness, or if I'm wherever, if I'm out actively trying to expand the kingdom of God and the rapture comes, do I get to go? Or do I only get to go if I'm sitting home in my prayer closet, in front of my Bible? If the rapture comes, do I get to go, John?
I'd say you get to go. I'd say probably a lot of guys on this call would get to go. But you study the parable. I mean, several of the parables, especially the one of the bride and five being ready and five not. This whole idea that the entire Christian church, that anybody who's born again is going to be taken out of here when they're not being the salt and the light, when they're not doing anything that they're called to do other than showing up 45 minutes on a Sunday morning, they're not the bride. The God is preparing a bride right now, and a whole bunch of the church is going to wake up and find out that they've been left behind just because they thought being born again was a prerequisite. And okay. I'm working on that in the Revelation course I'm doing, but you're absolutely right.
Okay, folks, sit down now. Before you get mad at John, get mad at me. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus himself said, broad is the way and narrow is the gate. Many come, few find it. John, doesn't it say that? Doesn't that say that this idea that if you've said a prayer, that when Jesus returns, you're out of here? John, brother, and there ain't a whole lot of biblical support for that position, is there?
No, there's very, very little biblical support for it, but you can pull out one or two scriptures and try to make it sound like that's the case. But the parable of the virgins, they're virgins. they're engaged to the bride of Christ. That's what Paul said. I have betrothed you to Christ. So you don't even fit into that 10 brides category unless you're a Christian, and that's very clear that five of them are going to make it. I mean, they're going to have to go through this stuff, and that's biblical. Yeah, I can show you that in Revelation when I go through that course eventually. Here, that's what I'm working on now. But
John, how about this one? When Jesus says, I think it's in Matthew, although I could be wrong. I'm not looking at anything over here. I'm just looking over here and thinking. Jesus said, in that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we lay hands on the sick and see them recover? And let me back up a minute. In that day. What day? What day, folks? Because in that day, many. In that day, many. Do you read the Bible and think? In that day, many will say unto me, does anybody know where that scripture is so I can pull that up there? Matthew 7:21 through 23. See, Mike's getting up there. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. Ooh, John, kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And many, how many? Many. Many will say to me, when? What? In that day. In what day? Many will say, in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name, haven't we cast out the devils? And in your name, haven't we done all these wonderful things? And then will I profess unto them, sorry, dude, who are you again? Many. He's going to say to many, who are you? Never knew you. I'm sorry. Pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful scripture if you think about it, folks.
Well, Coach,
there's a lot of many's and few's in the scripture. Come on in, go.
Yeah, Coach. In that passage of scripture, that's actually a past context. It's actually, did we not do these things in your name? This is part about running the race, finishing the race, that which has been set before us. When we don't do that, then Jesus says, depart from me, you, which is a present tense. He says, you worker of iniquity, you. In other words, people might have done good things, but then they stop. They think they can just kind of sit on the back porch and wait for the kingdom to come. No, brother, we got to be active and involved at all times.
You fucking hoe.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
You know, you emphasized the word many there so rightfully. You did it. But earlier in chapter 7, same chapter.
Like your dick, you little bitch.
Hey, earlier, hey, I rebuked you. Get out of here. Earlier in chapter 7, verse 13, it's talking about the narrow path and the straight gate versus the wide way that leads to destruction versus the narrow path that leads to life. And it says many there. It says few will find, many will find the wide gate. And there'll be a whole bunch of them going in there. It says few will find the narrow gate. Now that word many in chapter 13, verse 13 is the exact same Greek word for many that's in the passage you read. And when you go to a Greek dictionary, I don't know what you do when you go to a Bible dictionary. I don't use Bible dictionaries. If I look up a Greek word, I go to a regular secular Greek dictionary. That word many in a Greek dictionary means a super majority of a group. So when Jesus talks about the people saying, didn't we do stuff for you and all that, Jesus told his disciples, a super majority of those people claiming to be mine, I'm going to send them to hell. Now, that's my translation.
Well, because we know this, folks. When you hear many, we know many means a lot. But we don't really balance that against few.
Black lives matter.
Few.
Black lives matter.
Few. Few. Throw many out if you want to. Ignore many. Few. And very many. Few and very many. I'm not trying to scare anybody, right? I'm not. But this false sense that we have that Jesus is returning and everybody's going to be raptured out of here. Boy, I hope. Coach. Yeah.
Hey, Coach. You know, I think in that passage, the key of that is when at the end he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. What was their works? Well, they were casting out demons, those things, but they weren't doing it according to his will. He wasn't. Mm-hmm. They weren't obeying him. And the key is, he said, depart from me, for you workers of iniquity, for I did not know you. I never knew you. And that's gnosis, to know intimately, that they didn't know him, but they were doing the works. And I think they bought into that bumper sticker years ago. Remember, it says, Jesus is coming. Look busy.
Yeah, that's right.
And the other aspect of that is, we're doing as the church itself, we're doing this thing, okay, and we may be casting out demons and healing the sick and all that.
We're not even doing that, Joe. We're not even doing
that. We don't know who God is. We don't pray. Yeah. If we don't communicate with him, what we do is on our own, because we're not under his direction.
Amen. Amen. Boy, oh boy.
That's where Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands.
Pretty simple.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, pretty simple. What have I got? I got 8 minutes here.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead, Jeff.
John Diamond, I actually did a city council yesterday. And I talked about the three boxes, the king and judge and so forth. And on the second comment, the mayor said to me, how dare you call us incompetent?
Really?
Yep.
When they are, right?
Yep.
When they are incompetent. They are incompetent. Hey, Speaking of, yep.
Yeah, this is a question going back to the, the scripture verses we're talking about. So those who Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. I mean, how could they have even been doing anything in the name of Jesus if they weren't, if they didn't have the Holy Spirit to begin with?
Good point.
Can I answer that?
Yes.
Because they were doing it in the label of Jesus. They were claiming the label of Jesus in their actions. They were not walking in the authority and the leading of Jesus.
Like the seven sons of Sceva.
Yes. Okay, let me show you something else here. I just kind of ended up with this. Because we can beat that horse over and over and over.
Hey Coach, throw something in there?
Mike, while he's doing that, Mike, pull up Mail Fraud. Go ahead, Jack.
I think pulling it together, what you're really saying is, we've been putting little Jesus Band-Aids on all the big owies and not really cleaning them out. And that's what David Arthur is doing, that residue program. I've seen his presentation, and it was really excellent. The idea being to get it cleaned out, not just put a Band-Aid on the top of it so it festers underneath.
It's the exact same thing that John Loveland was talking about, exact same thing that Tom Dunn is talking about. Again, the wound is there, the stitches, you cleaned it out, the stitches are there, but still not healed. Still not healed. And it's easy to continue to pick at that wound. So it takes a deeper healing than what we understand. Right? You just can't put a Band-Aid on it. It's okay. I want to throw this up here just because, again, for something else to think about and be concerned about and pray about. And Mike, show this video here. Folks, you know, there. I don't know about you. I got a ballot in the mail.
Sure, we had two very solid.
Hang on. I didn't request it. I got a ballot in the mail. A mail-in ballot, right? Like, we want to be able to, folks, listen, gonna hurry on here. They're setting us up for a challenged election. That's what they want to do. They want all these mail-in ballots that they know aren't going to be legitimate, so they can say when Trump wins, whether he wins big or whether whatever, they're going to be able to say what? Well, they didn't count all the votes. They're cheating. They didn't count all the votes. Oh, my goodness. And try to create some type of chaos in the fact that we didn't get a fair election. Trump cheated. He can't be in the one. This is going to continue on. But here is why. This is just 2 minutes, folks. This is why we can't have mail-in. If you need any, if you trust the media, I'm sorry, mail, if you trust the post office for your ballot, go and play this, Jared or Mike.
Sizable mail dumpings here in Glendale this morning, both of them along or just off Glen Oaks Boulevard, and a large rented panel truck was used to deliver it.
What you're looking at is a pile of U.S. mail dumped in the parking lot of the Q7 Spa here in Glendale.
It happened early in the morning, 5:40, and it was a budget rental big truck that back up to the parking lot. And there's like slowly one and one, they're dropping the packages.
Throwing them out of the truck.
Yeah, but it's a budget rental car. It's not USPS truck.
Pochta Mail, United States.
The enormous mound of boxes and envelopes was found by a Spa employee. And less than a mile away, more U.S. mail found dumped near this alleyway. Thousands of pieces, all discarded at two different locations in one morning.
Unopened packages. And it's a lot with see-through box. It was scary. It wasn't only one or two. It's huge pile of different size packages.
All U.S. mail.
All U.S. mail.
Postal inspectors wouldn't comment on what type of mail had been dumped, but this could be why local residents haven't been receiving their checks or medicines or other critical correspondence. And with the USPS at the center of an ongoing national political debate, this certainly doesn't help its image. Some think that this was an inside job.
Because it's huge packages. I think it's from inside.
You think somebody within the Postal Service did this?
Probably. Otherwise, how they can steal too many packages?
Postal inspectors wouldn't comment on that either. But the dumped mail, we're told, has been retrieved and should be forwarded to its rightful destination in the coming days.
Okay, Mike, there you go.
And inspectors will now try to determine what post.
You understand, folks? You understand the game that's being played on us? That the election, it will be Florida 2000 times 10. And all they want to do, they're setting it up right now for us to know that cheating is being done through mail-in voting. And they're going to say, of course, that it's the Trump administration that's doing it because they control the post office. See where this is going?
And both sides refuse to fix it, Coach. They don't want to fix it. Every other country does it.
Listen, I'm going to tell you this, friends. Listen, if you think the Republicans are going to fight for Donald Trump, you haven't been paying attention. You haven't been paying attention. So when this mail fraud stuff begins to impact the election in November, you think the Republicans are going to stand up and fight and defend Donald Trump? They haven't yet. They haven't yet. And so continue to be aware of the fact that that deep swamp in Washington, D.C. is real. And the kings of this earth are conspiring against the Lord, against his anointed, that this actually is happening and it is going down and that it will show up and it will have great, great implications 50 some days from today. Let's not be ignorant of Satan's devices, man. Anybody closing word here?
Yeah, as one man said to his wife as he was filling out the mail-in ballot,
Am I supposed to send all seven of these in?
Am I supposed to vote for Grandpa George, who died 4 years ago? Yeah. Right. Oh, man. The devil's loose, folks. Devil's loose. You are the salt of the earth. God bless y'all. We'll see you tomorrow.